Al will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, though.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken.
This episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Old School Labs and Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to part two of our interview this week with Chris Cormier for our Olympia series, the Olympians, we're calling it. And last week we had part one of our interview with Chris that was actually done a few years ago at the Powerhouse Gym in downtown Tampa. So you will hear some background noise, you'll hear some music in the background, but you're still going to really enjoy this interview. I think we did it at the end of 2014 when Chris was living in Tampa and he was training Ben Pekulski, who was also in Tampa at the time, and everybody was training at the Powerhouse. Ben, I think, was getting ready for the Arnold Classic in 2015 before he eventually retired. So anyways, this interview with Chris comes from that time period, and this will be part two of our interview with Chris today. And in this part of the interview, Chris talks about competing as a professional bodybuilder and competing in the many Mr. Olympia competitions that he competed in, as well as the Arnold Classics. Chris never won the Olympia, and he never won an Arnold Classic, although that was debatable because a lot of people felt he should have won at least one of those Arnold Classics. But Chris did win the Pro Ironman show several times, and he won the Night of the Champions. I think that was his first pro win. I can't really remember the year. I think it might have been around 97. So Chris is going to talk about all that, about competing against Dorian Yates and Flex Wheeler, also Sean Ray, Jay Cutler, Ronnie Coleman. So Chris has had a really extensive professional bodybuilding career, so we had a great conversation talking with Chris Cormier. I do want to mention we are brought to you again by Old School Labs. I've been with Old School Labs for several years now. This is the supplement company that draws on the wisdom of the golden era of fitness and bodybuilding to offer unique supplements for the discerning athlete. I'm talking no proprietary blends, no artificial flavors or sweeteners. You may have heard of their award-winning fat burner, Vintage Burn. This is the world's first muscle-preserving fat burner. Or Vintage Blast, which is the world's first two-stage pre-workout. Old School Labs is the only brand that I use, trust, and associate my name with. They're the brand that I used to win the Natural Mr. Universe contest in 2012. They are also the company that sponsors Breon Ansley, who is the 2017 Classic Physique Olympia champion and the 2018 Classic Physique Arnold Classic champion. And Breon is only weeks away from defending his Olympia title. So he will be in Vegas on September 14th, 15th, and he will be trying to win his second Classic Physique Olympia title. And I think he's going to do it. Old School Labs also sponsors 1983 Mr. Olympia Samir Banute and bodybuilding legend Tom Platz. So use the discount code LEGENDS12 and you will get 12% off your order at oldschoollabs.com, or you can visit them at amazon.com and make your purchase there. Old School Labs, supplements that make sense. All right, so how's everybody doing? We are heading into the dog days of summer, they call it. This is the last week of August, and next weekend will be September, and we will be in Labor Day next week, believe it or not. I want to wish my dad a happy birthday. His birthday will be coming up on August 29th, which will be on Wednesday. My dad will be 81 years old. Him and my mom are still in very good health, thank God. So I'm very happy that they are still with me and in such great health. I have great, great parents. If you ever heard me talk about them, I'm very, very blessed to have a mother and father that I have. Speaking of the dog days of summer, I am offering $100 off any training and nutrition programs. If you do the combo, training and nutrition program combo, and that is on my website, dadbodtoripbod.com. That's dadbod with the number 2 and ripbod.com. And usually I charge $300 for a training and nutrition program. This is a personalized program that I set up according to your goals, whatever you're trying to accomplish, whether you're trying to get ripped or you're trying to get bigger. And we take into account, of course, your age and your training experience, any injuries you might have, the current diet that you're on now, the current training program you're on now. So with my 40 years of experience, I can pretty much personalize it and get something working for you that will work for your individual body. So I am offering that for only $200, but it's only until September 1st. So it's only for one more week. So if you guys are interested in that, I don't know where you're at with your training or your diet, this is usually a good time to start a diet because a lot of people are off their diet for the summer, even out here in Florida, summer all year. But everybody usually takes a break during the summer. But this is around the time of Labor Day that people start getting more serious with their training and their nutrition. So if you are interested in that, like I said, I only got one more week on that offer. So just email me at naturalolympia@gmail.com and we'll get you set up on that. I had a really short week this week because I spent last week, as I mentioned, in Cape Cod, Massachusetts for my seminar with the AAAI group. And so I got back late and my workouts were about one day off this week. So everything seemed like this week flew by quick. But I did work on the Lee Labrada interview. We did part one of my video interview a few weeks ago. And we covered up until when Lee won the universe in 85. And then also when he did his first two Olympias, which was in 87 and 88. So the interview takes up from there, from 1989. And that's where he took second place to Lee. And he took second place to Lee in 89 and 90. So those were the peak years for Lee Labrada as far as the Olympia is concerned. And then we go all the way up until 92 when he really improved his size. And he took third place to Kevin Mavrone and Dorian Yates. And that was Dorian's first win. And then all the way up until Lee's retirement in 95 when he won the Arnold Classic and he took fifth place. So we got a lot to talk about, a lot of great videos. I might make it a three-part video series because the second part is about 2 hours. So I might just split it up into two. So this will be the first time we ever had a three-part video interview, but we've got so much video or contest coverage in there. So many video clips that it might be worth making it a three-parter. As I mentioned, when I was talking about Old School Labs, the Olympia is coming up rapidly. I think it's only like 3 weeks away. So I'm not really sure if I'm going or not, but I'm hoping to go. So I hope I can go with the Old School Labs. I'll let you guys know next week. And if you're going out there, you can stop by and see me at the Old School Labs booth. And I was reading that book, Bruce Lee, The Life by Matthew Polly is the author. So if you guys are Bruce Lee fans, you might want to check that out. You can buy it on Amazon. I finally finished it. It was a 500-page book, but it was really, really good. I'm a huge Bruce Lee fan. And this was the first book I ever read where I really felt like I got to know Bruce Lee as a person because Matthew Polly did 6 years of research talking to so many people. In fact, at the end of the book, when you look at the book, it shows it's 600 pages. But if you go to the end of the book, there's 100 pages of notes of people he talked to and where he got all his sources. So that was amazing. That's why it was such a great book because it's so well researched. So if you are a Bruce Lee fan, you might want to check that out. And that's on Amazon.com. Bruce Lee, The Life, it's called. And I will be starting my new job this week, my security guard job. So I'm sort of excited about that. I've been working for myself pretty much the last 20 years. So it's going to be interesting having a full-time job, but it will help. So I'm excited about that. So I'll let you guys know how that goes next week. All right. I also want to mention we're brought to you by Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. If you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels to maximize your potential, then go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. They have a certified and knowledgeable staff that will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results you've been looking for. They offer a wide range of services that ensure you will not only look and feel amazing, but also be comfortable knowing that they're there for you every step of the way. Their competitive pricing, along with their quality products and services, are just a few reasons to give them a call. So call them in Tampa, Florida at their office number, which is 813-922-8939, or you can reach them at their website, which is flalternativemeds.com. And if you mention you heard the ad on Bodybuilding Legends podcast, they will give you a free consultation, and they'll also give you 20% off your order. So check them out, 813-922-8939, or visit their website, flalternativemeds.com. And if you guys want to contribute to the show and be a donor, you can do that through Patreon, which is on our website, bodybuildinglegendshow.com. When you go to the home page, it's right there in the upper right-hand corner. Just click on that. If you want to contribute as little as $5 a month just to keep the Bodybuilding Legends podcast going, I would really appreciate it. I appreciate you guys thinking about that. All right, so here is part two of our interview with Chris Cormier, The Real Deal, where Chris talks about competing as a professional bodybuilder in the IFBB with his extensive career. Here you go.
Your first Olympia in 94, Dorian was the winner then. How did you feel about his physique? because that was like his, what, his third win, I think.
Well, yeah, well, we all went to the 93 Olympia with Flex because mm-hmm. he went from Arnold, and so we went, okay, we were all behind him, so we went to Atlanta for the Olympia that year,
right?
And he it was shocking at first because we're sitting in the audience and we're like, Dorian just comes out and we're like, holy shit. I was like, okay, I quit.
Yeah.
I quit. I'm not gonna.
That was your, freaked everybody out, right?
Yeah.
It came like 15 pounds.
That was my first. That was my first thought, was I quit.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, forget it. You know, so, you know, and then Flex was hanging right there with him, you know.
Right.
Like, okay, his, just by the shape alone, it wasn't like size or anything.
Yeah.
But to see him do that was, you know, it was pretty amazing for us because we were all like trading, buying each other food for lunch, you know, just about a year ago.
Yeah.
And then now we're battling with the best people in the world.
Right, you know? Right.
So that's how, you know, we were just, it was just amazing for us as a crew to eventually be one of the top three with a training partner. Not many people were able to have a training partner that we started out as amateurs and went on to the pros.
And yeah.
And then we're competing for the title, for the Mr. Olympia title. Not many people can do that.
Right. That's cool. You guys were training partners as amateurs and then went all the way up to the top pros.
Yeah.
So your first Arnold was in 94.
Yeah.
And you got, what, like fourth place right behind
Negroni
and...
Yeah, but my before the week before that was my first pro show with the Ironman.
Okay.
Which I took second. Once I took second to Vince Taylor.
Okay.
Actually, on my right was Myrtle Fox was actually on
really?
My right. Yeah.
Wow.
So that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And
he was probably an idol of yours growing up, huh?
Yeah, of course. You know, he's seeing the doing a tricep push down with the cable between his pecs.
Right.
So yeah, all that stuff was awesome. But like what you said about Dorian. You could feel Dorian's presence on stage, especially at 1994, when he was already had people freaked out. Like, you feel like if you had like a whale coming behind you, you'd probably feel the presence.
Right.
So it was sort of like that feeling on stage. And I remember he was coming towards me, and I see inside of my eye here, he was coming. I'm like, okay, here comes Dorian. I gotta hit my best shot. So he did I did a last spread. He ended up doing a last spread also. I never seen the photo, but I know he did it.
Yeah. How was he to interact with on stage as a competitor? Was he pretty much to himself? And
yeah,
stuff?
To himself. He didn't really talk too much. He talked to me a different period of time, and, you know, we're very close now.
Yeah.
But when we were competitors, one time we were competing, and we had the same style of shoes. So I ended up putting on his shoes. Because he had him on the side of the stage.
Right.
And he ended up finding my shoes. So I was like, I'm walking around with Dorian's shoes all day. So he's like looking for me. He said, Dorian, looking for you. I said, what? He said, you got my shoes on, right? So that was kind of cool. Just from there, I was playing an avid gamer, you know, with the PlayStation and stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
His son was actually playing a lot. And so, Lewis, his son Lewis, and we're good friends too now. But he's like saying, yeah, you and Lewis ought to play or whatever. And, you know, at the time, I was like so into it that I'd be doing an interview for Flex Magazine, like totally playing, like right before the Arnold Classic. They like wait for me to finish, get a touchdown. Okay.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So what was it like competing in the 90s then? I mean, I'm sure you didn't know when you turned pro that there was going to be this great influx of pros, you know, coming up. You had yourself and, you know, Flex, of course, and you had Dorian, and then Nasser came along, and Sean Ray was in the mix, Taylor.
Yeah. Kevin Lebrun.
Yeah, Lebrun.
Yeah. Actually, I followed behind Kevin a lot because I took a lot of seconds to Kevin, and then I was like, okay. So we would go on tour, and I just learned as much as I could from him. He would... He'd actually be on stage, not taunting me, but, like, talking to me a lot. And, like, I would just follow him, what he's doing. And that became something that even Dexter did with me.
Okay.
Like, if I do a little something, Dexter did a little something. It was just like, But we had pump up together. We had stayed in the same rooms together. We roomed on tour.
Yeah.
And just, you know, his work ethic and his, the way he went about things, I was just like, man, if only I could get close to that, then I could beat a lot of people also.
Wow.
And then it came one day when I was able to beat Kevin. Stuff like that was like, meant a lot to me because I looked up to these guys so much. Matt Mendenhall back then. Was,
yeah,
we all did the Nationals in 1991 also.
Right.
I forgot to talk about that. But just to have all these great people that you, like you said, we saw in the magazines coming up, and it's the same feeling for me. I'm one of the biggest fans of bodybuilding, you know, mm-hmm. there is, you know.
Yeah, the 91 Nationals, we, like I said, we didn't mention that, but that was after Matarazzo won the USA, and then a couple months later, that was one of the best Nationals.
Yeah,
that was Kevin
Lamar,
won, right?
Yeah, Flex was in it. I was in it. Ronnie Coleman was in it.
DeMayo,
Mendenhall. Who else? There was a lot of people in that show, man. But it was, I'll tell you, that
Ronnie,
was...
Ronnie Coleman?
Oh, yeah. Ronnie Ronnie took fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Chicharillo, he beat
Chicharillo,
you.
Chicharillo, yeah. Yeah, that was like, you know, I was a young guy, you know, 23. I was, like I said, I was younger than those other people.
Yeah.
So just, you know, being a 23-year-old, and you know, I say, okay, I'm one of the best in America, and I can get my pro card. And so what I needed to do was just, I took a year off at 92, like I said, trained with Flex.
Right.
And just worked on getting some more size. And then I came back and got my title.
You think that heavy training you guys were doing together at the time, that contributed a lot to your size?
I did think so, but if I would have did it all again now, I probably would have went for more feel of the muscle. I was plenty strong doing up to 500 pounds on the incline.
Right.
200-pound dumbbell presses and all that stuff. But I felt like it was using a lot of arms, mm-hmm. and I was using just... And if you think about it, you can't really focus on the muscle if you got so much weight. You got so much weight, you're just trying to live.
Yeah.
You're just trying to live through it. So you can't really focus on the muscle.
I think we all do that when we're younger. We're strong, and we want to lift the heaviest weights possible.
Yeah.
But
that's,
yeah.
And I see it still. It's like, even when I have people like Robbie saying in my ear, you know, make it harder for yourself, make each rep count.
Yeah.
Make, you know, don't just come up, you know, lackadaisical with the weight, like really get some intensity into it.
Right, right.
I wanted to go heavier, so I was like, you know, I did that for a little bit, but then I ditched that and went back to going heavy.
Yeah.
But now when I tell different people, that youngsters, I say, okay, this is the way to do it. This is the most effective way to do it. They still resort back to that because that's in their mind that they feel like they can
do.
Think about your tendons and you're going to strain yourself. You'll get way more out of it. You're going to, you know, contract the muscle and utilize all the different components of the rep.
Right, right.
Being a master of the repetition, that's what's going to get you further than the weight.
Right, right. Now, like, going back to your career, in 95, you did the Night of the Champions and Nasser won that, and it seemed like that's sort of where the trend started to change. Where we went from the symmetrical, perfectly developed physiques like Flex and Sean Ray and yourself to more the mass monsters like Nasser. And
yeah, it became
and
a tug of war of Yates. who was better, you know.
Right.
And, you know, Sean Ray was the leader of that, you know, also about talking about mass monsters versus what he was doing.
Right.
You know? And
yeah, he was pretty vocal about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, I just feel like... you know, bodybuilding to me was like you got to have a small, tight waist. Like I'm never gonna feel like it's okay just to come with a physique and not have that symmetrical look to mm-hmm. it. It's just not very pleasing to me, and I can't think that people that don't really bodybuild think that looks good.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Even the people that bodybuild don't think it looks good. Imagine what people who don't.
The average person, right?
Yeah. So, if you know, if your stomach is protruding past your chest and you think you're bodybuilding, then that's something I just don't believe in.
Right, right.
I think it needs to all look a certain way.
Yeah.
And I would train myself not to eat past a certain point, not to bloat my stomach. No matter what calorie intake people think I need to have.
Yeah.
I wasn't, I don't think, when people are doing this, I don't think they've taken into account the body type you're talking about. Because they're not going to say, okay, this guy is short-waisted, but he needs all these calories. Guess what? You're going to ruin the physique because you're going off of what muscle mass you have or whatever, not looking at the aesthetic look of the physique.
Right, right.
So I had a longer torso and a little bit shorter legs. So yeah. I was able, my body stretched out here, and I was able to put, you know, mass on, but it didn't just accumulate right here.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened, like, with Ronnie. He has a shorter waist.
Yeah.
He only had, like, a waist like this and all this food in it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
So that was...
Because he was the opposite. He had longer legs, shorter torso.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, your first big pro win, I think, was the Night of the Champions, right? 97?
Yeah, 97.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a happy night because the previous week before that, I totally did some amateur moves and went there and...
The Toronto Pro, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I took third because I got there. By the time I got there a little late, I was had a girlfriend pick me up over in Canada, but they kept me in customs like 5 hours.
Oh, no shit.
So I was pissed off already. I was like, I want to go home. Right? I don't even want to go to Canada. And they finally let me through. And then I found out I didn't even shave yet. Here it is Friday night.
Yeah.
I got into town late, and I'm still not shaving yet, so okay. So then I made a mistake of using a sheer, straight razor, and that injured my skin to where I was holding water.
Right, right.
So I went in there Friday night shaving with a razor, and then I went in there and I looked all blurry. Took third behind Matarazzo and Milos.
Right.
And then I'm like, okay. I'm pissed off now. So I went to Night of Champions next week, and I was really dialed in and made sure I shaved on Wednesday with the shears, and I was ready to go. And I got my first title. And at that time, I was like, I'm not gonna just win and just hold my hand. I'm gonna act like I won a touchdown. So I was like running around the stage.
Oh, really? Yeah.
High stepping.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so that was my first win, and went on to the Olympia that year.
Mm-hmm.
And each year I was qualifying for the Olympia, and
right. Each
year I was qualifying for the Arnold. And so the sponsors that I had, Joe and everybody, was like, if you're qualified, you need to go and compete. If you're invited, you need to go and compete. So every 6 months I was going and competing.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't able to take another year where I just focused on size. I think if I would have did a show once a year, like a lot of the guys in Olympia,
yeah,
I think I would have probably surpassed where I was and really gave even a stronger go at the title.
Yeah. Now, how'd you feel in 98 when Ronnie won? Because that was sort of a year that was up for grabs. Dorian wasn't competing, so you had a bunch of guys that took second, like Lerone and Sean Ray and Flex.
I thought that show, Flex was going to win it. But,
yeah, a lot of people did.
But he made a mistake of being fearful of success.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that, but he was afraid of that success.
Yeah, yeah.
It was going to be demanding. It's going to be like a lot of attention, and I don't think he was cut out for that like that. And so he would make him have, he like gorge hamburgers down his body. Even 2 weeks out, he's having like how are you gonna like the show that you're supposed to win? You just left Wheeler. You just signed another contract with Nature's Best, and you got all this money coming in. All you got to do is win the show, and it's gonna keep coming in. And he's sitting there pounding burgers at about two weeks out.
Wow.
Like pounding them.
Wow.
And, you know, we had a meeting, like a sit-down type meeting before the Olympia, and he kind of confessed to us, and it was a lot of crying and a lot of...
Wow, really?
Yeah, it was a big thing.
Hmm.
So we got to the show, and, you know, we were like three days out from the show, and we go to take a look at him, myself and Rico and Chad Nichols.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't even turn the lights on.
Oh, really?
He kept it dim.
Wow.
And he was so far out of shape, he had him drink like 7 gallons of water that day to try to flush out water.
How far out from the show was this?
3 days.
3 days. Wow. Holy shit.
So even how he looked was remarkable everywhere
yeah.
he came.
Yeah.
Trust me. you know, Chad did a great job bringing him down from that, but it was just like,
oh shit.
And me, I felt like I should have been third in that competition, but
you got six, right?
But my age, my name, all that stuff wasn't strong enough to.
Yeah.
But I looked. If you look at that tape, I was super hard. Kevin.
Nasser. Sean.
Yeah, Sean. Like I should have been in front of those guys.
Yeah.
It should have been myself, Flex, and Ronnie, and it was that the next year.
Right.
But I'm telling you, they missed a year. I had a great routine, and it was that's when a lot of people, you know, I grew up bouncing in nightclubs from the time I was 18 up until 23.
Mm-hmm.
So that nightlife was always something I was always around 4 or 5 nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't really sleep well at night.
Yeah.
You know, and it still plagued me throughout my life. Like, it's hard for me to sleep at night. And I was sleeping like 5 hours on average when I was competing.
Wow.
But then I was like a shy bodybuilder. So I was a shy bodybuilder trying to fake like I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I struggled with that a lot.
And what do you mean you were a shy bodybuilder?
I'm a shy person.
Yeah.
By nature. So bodybuilding, getting up there on stage, was something very hard for me to do, to take my clothes off. And like, even growing up in school, I didn't want to say any speeches. I didn't want to do that stuff. I was too shy.
Yeah.
I'd wait till the last day and the second to the last person, then I'll say my speech. Every time.
Yeah.
Throughout my whole career.
Right.
And that was another thing when I was going to turn pro. I was like, my God, people are going to want me to do seminars, and I don't want to do that. You know, so it was, like I say, something I struggled with.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I was like, okay, I have to come out of the shell if I want to be a better bodybuilder. So I started throwing myself on stage and dancing, like, at these nightclubs.
Mm-hmm.
And getting ready for the 99 Olympia, I was flying to Vegas every weekend up until 5 weeks out. And what I would do is I'd go to the nightclub owner, and they would like they'd give me a free room because they'd know I'd come and perform.
Uh-huh.
And each week I'd go there and dance and take off all my clothes and dance, and I'd train my ass off 5 days a week, and then I'd go to Vegas on the weekend.
Wow, that's wild. And so then, you basically did it just so you get over that fear of being on stage.
But people was like, oh man,
he's a partier.
I was looking awesome though. You should have seen. I was 5 weeks out and I was already ready.
Right.
And so once I stopped going, I stayed in town. And then that's when I came out with my big routine when I was like 1999. Like, this is my coming out party.
Right, right.
I'm going to do this. It was the best competition of my life because you know how there's no cramping. There's nothing going wrong with your body. Everything's tight.
Right.
As tight as I want it to be. My routine was flawless. My pre-judging was flawless. If you look at the posing routine, when you do your compulsory poses by yourself,
mm-hmm.
Everything was dead on the money.
Mm-hmm.
At that 1999 prejudging, nothing went wrong.
Right.
Like, no bobbling, no mistakes.
Right.
Everything was just right on the money. My stance, right. Everything was just dead.
Yeah. And what was your motivation for that, Chris? Was it because you only got sixth the year before and you should have been higher? And
well, I had a thing with trying to say to myself, okay, I'm going to be top six. I'm going to be top six this year. You know? I mean, I wanted to make the top six. My rookie year, I was top six. My second year, I was top six. I say, okay, so I'm one of the top in the world.
Yeah.
To get over the hump, I need to make top three. But I never came out and like, I'm going to be Mr. Olympia. This is my year for Mr. Olympia. I was never saying that.
Right, right.
Because I felt like I wasn't ready to be that. And I didn't want to be like a person that's just out there jawjacking about something that's not going to happen.
Right.
So the year that I said I'm going to be top three, that's the year that I was top three. I said, I'm not selling for six, no fifth. I'm in the top three this year. And that was on the tape. I said that on the tape, you know, before the show.
Yeah.
I'm making the top three.
Got to make the top three. That's my goal this time. I make the top three. Got to pass up a lot of champions, but I got to make the top three. Six is the thing of the past. Three sixes is the bad omen. King stuff right there. Gotta go up.
That's why I made it, but I actually felt that should have been at least second.
Yeah.
I thought that was a little bit
you harder to flex.
I thought I was.
Yeah.
He thought he should have won it. I thought it should have been second.
And you guys were sort of training together, right? Because yeah, I remember seeing that battle for the Olympia with you and him in the gym. That's one of my favorite battles for the Olympia.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome, man. And that's where you just take off your shirt and it's like everything's just all...
Yeah, you guys were closing by the door over there.
Yeah, man. It was awesome.
So, you just felt like that was your year. You felt you knew that. Didn't you guys have a bet with Sean Ray too that you were going to place higher than him?
Well, he always told me since I was a little kid that I was never going to be able to beat him, like never. You're never going to beat me, so don't even try it. That type of thing. And we actually trained together for some of the Olympias, and I got upset with him because one day my car broke down and he didn't want to come pick me up. He was like, you can't make it to the gym. I'm sorry, I'm going to go. I was like, man, he was like, I'm not going to help you beat me. So that was the last time we trained together. Sean, the trip.
And then you win the Ironman that year too, right, in 99?
Yeah.
I didn't realize you won that show so many times. You won it like four years in a row. Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing was, Flex was in one of those shows.
Right, in 2000.
Ronnie, but it was Dexter, Ronnie, Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
I beat the best guys in our era in that show. That show, like, no one could touch me because the way the lights were, it just accentuated my physique.
Yeah.
And I should have just kept doing it because it was no way someone could beat me in that stage.
Right.
I don't care who it was.
They had the best lighting at that show, didn't they?
No one was going to beat me on that stage.
Wow.
Like, if you see some of those photos from that stage, I was not even, like, fully drawn. I was just, like, I lost a little bit of water, like 2 or 3 pounds, and just go right into the show.
Right.
And for some reason, my physique on that stage, even when these shows I had to say, hey, Dexter, I'm not going to do the show this year. He said, stop lying. You're going to do it. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. Come on, win it. And I sat in the audience and let him win it. And then that's the year, that was in 05.
Yeah.
I was like, no, come on, win it. I'm gonna sit it out. So he flew out there and won it. And then the judge, in the judge's eyes, they saw him on that stage. And they, like, that carried over in their mind to the Arnold the next week.
Right.
And I just always had trouble, getting the nod at the Arnold. I mean, I did the show 10 times. I've been second six years in a row.
I know, that's unbelievable. I couldn't believe it until I was doing this list up.
It's like, it'll make your head spin.
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe how they just never gave me the nod there. And
yeah.
I'm still upset about it to this day.
I thought that one year when Jay beat you, when he was way underweight, I thought you should have definitely won that one.
I still haven't found a judge. I haven't found a fan. I haven't found nobody that thought that, except on the paper where it says I didn't win.
Right.
I haven't found any of his fans, my fans.
Right.
No judges.
Even Dorian was doing the play-by-play right for ESPN. Yeah. Even he said you should have won.
Yeah, no one thought I should have not won that show.
Yeah.
And that kind of, that was hurtful to me because I was just like, I would have a full-on tantrum in the backstage.
Oh, really?
Oh, hell yeah. I'm on the ground screaming. It's just like pissed off because it's like the whole year. I'm like, okay, this is my year. And to be second that many years in a row, I don't think anyone will be second that many times.
No.
What are the odds?
I know. Well, that one year Ronnie won it, right? And when he was already
Mr.
Olympia.
That's what pissed me off, too.
Yeah.
Because it's like, they're not going to take a Mr. Olympia's title and be like, okay, this is, you're the Mr. Olympia, but Chris beat you today.
Yeah, at the Arnold.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
And we had the same dietitians, so.
Chad, yeah.
I think there was a little something going on with he probably, I know Ronnie was like his main guy, his breadwinner, his everything.
Mm-hmm.
But Ronnie, if you remember, Ronnie came in. I sat out the Olympia in 2000. I had passed out in Mexico.
Oh, really?
That year, and I ended up being. I said, okay, I think something's wrong with me. Maybe I better not push it. But I should have did it. I really should have did that show.
Yeah.
And I would have been in the top two or top three, even if not won it.
Yeah.
I think I could have won it because Ronnie came in at 280 pounds that year.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
280 pound Ronnie is not going to beat me.
Right.
No way in hell. And that's the year I should have did it. Because after that, when I was getting ready for the Arnold, I'm sitting in the audience like, oh, like teared up. I'm like, I'm pissed that I didn't do it.
Yeah. Know?
It's like, there's no way he could beat me. He had like a pinstripe coming from his glute to his knee, but no cuts, no nothing. I was like, okay, you bring that to the Arnold Classic then and see what happens. So three months later, you're not going to compete and win the Olympia at 280. People thinking, what is it going to be, 290, 300?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What did he do?
He came down. Right.
Why did he come down?
Why?
Because of me.
Oh, really?
Because I told Chad, I said, let him come in at 280, see what happens. I'm going to go lighter.
Right.
So I was listening to Dorian, and Dorian said, Chris, you need to come down lighter. You look bigger.
Right.
I said, mentally, you'll think you won't be, but the way your physique is,
your symmetry,
you're going to look bigger. So I came down 247 that time. And I haven't been in the 40s in a long time on purpose because I didn't want to compete that light.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came down that light, he came down to 240.
Right.
So don't tell me you're in shape at 280 or what you consider good to win a title. But yet, you need to come down to 240 now, 3 months later. It doesn't make any sense. And it had to have been something. You know, because he didn't want to lose to me, that's for sure.
Yeah, not to be a Mr. Olympia.
No, and we had a, you know, he got me from the back because he had, you know, the striated glutes that was astronomically cut. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that type of look.
Mm-hmm.
But I hung with him in like maybe three out of the pose. And I won the front last spread because they had a lead-in photo of us like elbow to elbow in the front last spread.
Mm-hmm.
And I won that shot. I won the side tricep shot. And it was another shot I won. But from the back, he beat me in those two shots.
Yeah.
I beat him in the ab shot, ab and thigh.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I got like three poses out of the four. And he edged me out.
And that year that Flex beat you at the Arnold, after you beat him at the Ironman 1 week before.
And that was a little weird to me because if you look at the photos from that match, I could still show you some photos from that show, and there's no way he was better.
Right.
He was better than he was the week before, but I was also better.
Right.
But he was so far off that when he got better, they considered
that. Made it look like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think it was still a little bit more so to it than that, and I'm going to leave it at that.
And another thing, Chris, I didn't realize, you won that Australia Grand Prix like three times, right?
Yeah, I won the first three of them.
Yeah.
Took second in the last two. I got a little, you know, coming from the Arnold and the other shows, when you're doing multiple shows, you know, it gets you mentally, physically.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't as if I would have came there focused, there's no way I would have lost those shows. But I was losing focus over traveling, coming home, training there, getting back on the plane, going back, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm eating sandwiches on the way over to
right.
And then Lee Priest was over there for 2 weeks, staying over there, training, doing appearances, doing. And you know, this one guy was on the judging panel. I lost like about 2 points that show. But to me, it's like his physique. Like, I didn't like his chest and his depth to his body.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that shouldn't be the person like myself.
Right.
If I'm in good enough shape, I could be 75% and still should be able to win that show.
Right.
And he beat me by 2 points.
So oh, really?
I was pretty upset.
I
took out, like, 20 people, 20 of the fans that was waiting for me after the show. I said, let's go to dinner. I'm gonna pay for everybody. I spent all my money from that. I was so pissed off. all my money from the selling the photos. I made like a couple grand.
Yeah.
And I just spent it all on dinner. $1,500 bill.
Wow, really? So yeah. What are your some of your toughest competitors, you think, in your pro career?
Well, Ronnie for one.
Yeah.
Kevin LeBron, Flex. It was a mental and physical battle because it was, they try to get with your psyche also, you know. It's not just going up on stage. It's like who's saying what going into the show, who's doing what.
Would people say stuff backstage, you know, like they did in Pumping Iron, or was it more?
It was on stage, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. While we're posing, we're saying stuff, you know. Yeah, especially Kevin, he was super vocal on stage. And it was like we were the West Coast guys, me and Flex and Vince and Kevin. Vince and Kevin were the East Coast guys. And so we like taunt each other while we're competing, you know. But it made a lot of fun, you know.
Yeah.
It made a lot of fun.
Yeah, Leroy was a good competitor, wasn't he?
Yeah, so those guys was tough. And some of the guys, like I would just mentally just demolish people, like, on purpose. People what's his name? Dennis Newman.
Yeah.
I remember I came, he was going to compete with me, and I was fearful enough of him, of respecting his body enough to put in the time to mess with him. You know? So I waited for him to come and weigh in, and I taunted him coming into the show. Coming into just to weigh in, I was taunting him, saying stuff to him.
Like what?
Talking about his condition, talking about whatever you could say that's going to mess his head up.
Yeah.
Or have him so... Because if you think about this, if you get some of these guys so angry when they go up against you, if he's that mad, there's no way you could perform at your best because your mind is so...
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way you could... Your posing's not going to be as good.
You can't focus.
Yeah, you can't focus because some of the muscles are not going to be flexed because you're so... So much anger in your head and it's going down into your body, there's no way you could perform.
Yeah,
so that's what I try to do to people.
Remember when Kamali first competed against you at that Ironman?
Oh, yeah. See?
He was talking a lot of shit.
Yeah, because he was talking coming from the amateur ranks. He was sitting there like, what are you saying, boy? Like, you know, he was, and then that was an East Coast, West Coast thing.
Right,
too.
Big time.
And then he came, actually, one of his cousins was working in the bank where I'd go, and she was saying stuff to me. I'm like, who is your cousin? My cousin's gonna beat you and all this stuff. I'm like, what? And I was like, who's your cousin? He said, King Kamali. I'm like, King Kamali. So I was like, oh. So yeah, it was a big thing.
That was a crazy show. I was at that show in California.
And then the
pre-judging was nuts.
He still talks about that to this day. He said, you know the first thing Chris ever said to me? He hit me like this and he scooped the fuck over.
I remember that one.
Yeah.
When he got next to you on stage.
Because it was like all in my area. I'm like returning champion. I'm returning champion. You need to have some respect.
Right. You know? Exactly. Now, did anybody ever mess with your head at the pros like that? Like psych you out a little bit?
I was already up on that type of game, you know. Not really. But it went a lot of stuff when I was always when I was antagonized. I was antagonistic. I wasn't. I had this thing with Dennis James because back then it was like I said, it was no internet. So you say something to this reporter, and they put it in a magazine, and I'm like, okay, you said this, and then he's like, no, I didn't say anything. I said, did you say something? Yes, he said that. Okay, where's your pen and paper? And I kind of put this analogy out there, like my body's a Ferrari, and your body's like a Ford Pinto,
right?
And that didn't go over too well. Just, you know, it was like I said, okay, maybe I'm not as ripped as you are, because to me, that wasn't necessary for my physique. I wasn't necessary to push the water envelope as far as like cutting hard. It wasn't like I wasn't working hard. It just meant I didn't think that was necessary for bodybuilding.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about that, because we had people who were no longer on tour with us anymore because they were trying to get so much like that.
Yeah.
That wasn't my thing.
Right.
So I sort of went to I kind of went for the juggler and was mm-hmm. like, even if I got a scratch on my Ferrari, it's still a Ferrari. You know, and just so I sort of said something like, you can shine up a Ford Pinto, you can put a nice paint job on it, it'd be as custom as you can get it, but it's still a Ford Pinto. So that was kind of, so just going back and forth with that a couple of years, saying, he was saying my condition wasn't good enough to place where I placed.
Right.
And I was saying, well, I just got a good body, I guess.
Yeah. What was it like training with Dorian? I know you went over to England a little bit and trained with him.
Oh, God.
There's that famous video of you guys.
That
training.
Was shocking, man. It was shocking because it wasn't even supposed to be a video. It was just a workout, and I actually got filmed.
Right.
So none of that stuff was like, okay, I'm going to try to throw up.
Right, right.
And I'm going to come over here, we're going to do this and that. So we just all this like a fly on the wall. Because the guy would like be like up on a rack. But I didn't notice he was there.
Okay.
Most of the time. He'd be like on a squat rack, like shooting down. Uh-huh. And I'm like, shit.
You get back there. That's it. Power on, Chris. Come on, big legs. Big fucking. Hey, come on.
My fights.
He just pushed me to levels I've never been, and to me, like, that's what I was missing, was that intensity.
Mm-hmm.
And not to knock any other people that I trained with before, but when he came to Venice, he didn't train with Charles, he didn't train with some of these other people. He trained with the Mincers. The Mincers was an advocate of
high intensity
through what's the guy's name? Arthur Jones.
Arthur Jones, yeah.
So from Arthur Jones, he had it.
Mm-hmm.
He knew it.
Mm-hmm.
He taught them, and then there's even pictures of Arnold doing like the pullover machine with like the Mincers. You see those pictures?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's something, that's where bodybuilding was at, and that's where a lot of people missed it, because people don't want to work that hard.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to train that hard. They don't want to go to that level where you might be so exerted that you're going to just vomit.
Right, right.
During your set or whatever.
Right.
They just don't want to do it. And nowadays it's even worse. But it kind of like went and kind of stayed with some people, and then it just dropped off. Because it wasn't a secret how Dorian was training. He said, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm doing two sets or whatever, the failure or whatever. But people didn't understand it totally.
Yeah.
I didn't understand it. I'm going to try this. Ah, that's no good.
Right.
Go back to my heavyweight.
Right.
You know, like
right.
that.
Right.
And then, you know, when I went training with him, and then I started training people, I don't know if you noticed, but in the last 3 years, people started listening, there's way more to the rep than just heavy weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been more videos and stuff, but now it's like, I like when people tell me, oh yeah, I do the negative, and then I squeeze. Guess what? Your body don't look like you're doing that, so I don't care what you're telling me.
Right.
I can lift your muscle and tell you're not doing it like that.
Right.
It makes the muscle look a totally different way. And people thought that Dorian was doing something so crazy that made him look different from everybody, more dense. Mm-hmm. He had that more dense.
Yeah.
His assertions had more pop to him.
Right.
And I think I was lacking that in my physique throughout my career.
Hmm.
I was lacking that.
How do you employ some of those methods that you learned from Dorian when you train your clients now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's all I do.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the most effective way to train.
Right.
And I don't think if you're going to train someone, like if it's a certain person that don't really need to go to that extent, I understand that, but some people who are really trying to do something, that's what you need to do in order to make something happen in your body. That's why you see a lot of professionals with flat backs here, flat chest. They're not thinking through or mastering what you could do inside the gym,
mm-hmm.
even though they're professionals. They still don't know how to train. They still don't know. Just because you got a pro card, don't know how to train.
Right, right.
And I think between training with Dorian and the trainer, I trained with Charles Glass a number of years.
Yeah.
Learning different angles, but then when I threw in the intensity, that changed the game for me because I actually didn't know. I was 43 at the time, and I didn't even know that intensity was that intense.
Wow.
And most people probably live bodybuilding all their life, and they still don't know that.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they end up dying, and they devoted their whole life to bodybuilding, but never really knew what it was about.
They never really went to that level, yeah. What about the guys today, Chris? Does anybody really impress you out there, today's pros?
This guy, Dallas McCarver.
Yeah, Dallas McCarver, yeah.
McCarver, he can be really good.
Yeah.
If he had the right trainer behind him. I don't think it's... I don't think you need to go to something super chemical. I think you need to go just put your mind into the weights and to the gym and find out the best way to build your body. Because you can build your body a certain way by the resistance that you apply in your muscles. And a lot of people don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know how to build a back. They don't know how to build a chest. And it's the way you train which makes all this stuff come about. It's not something you're going to do to yourself chemically.
Right.
You're not going to eat your way to a title.
Right.
You're not
going
to do that.
Right.
And it's not at the dinner table. It's in the gym.
Right. What about, I remember seeing Ronnie Coleman on Muscle Mag cover a couple of years ago, and he said, if I was competing against Phil, I'd beat him. Do you think guys like Phil Heath and Kai Greene, how would they do back in the 90s?
They would lose.
You guys,
they would lose?
Yeah.
They would lose. Because even like this year, you know, to me, it was disappointing.
Yeah.
To me, it was disappointing because I think it was a higher standard for what was good or what was bad. It's like it wasn't a weird thing to see was a fully feathered quad.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Back then, it was everyone had it, so it was no big deal.
Or even just a shredded abs.
Yeah,
I mean, sometimes
yeah.
you don't even see that anymore.
And now that's what I mean. Like the people doing these different body these shots. These famous muscle shots, things was popping and hard everywhere all over the body.
Right.
Now it's not like that. They have a different meaning of what is good.
Yeah, exactly.
The lower expectations of greatness.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Chris, well, thank you very much for our interview.
Thank you.
I appreciate you taking
some
time.
One thing, my sponsor, Zig Plus out of Germany, and also if you want to reach me on my website, it's thegrind.guru.
TheGrind.guru. TheGrind.guru, okay.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk about that. And good luck with training Ben Pekulski for the Arnold. And,
yeah, thank you, man.
Good luck with your training system out here.
Yeah, we're going to see if we can make things grow on Ben that he never had before.
Yeah.
I told him, just give me the keys to the car. I said, let me drive. Whatever you do me for, that's what you did before. That's why I'm here.
Right, right.
Do something different.
All right, Chris. Well, it was a pleasure talking with you. I think you're one of the best bodybuilders, like we said, of the 90s. And great hearing some of your stories. So, thanks for joining us on the Bodybuilding Legends Show.
All right. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Thanks again to Chris, the Real Deal Cormier, for a great interview. And next week, we will have the interview I did with Lee Librato. We're going to have it on the podcast next week on the Bodybuilding Legends Show. So check that out. I want to thank Florida Alternative Medicine and Old School Labs for once again sponsoring the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And as I mentioned, if you guys want to be a donor to the show, just go on the Patreon link, which is on bodybuildinglegendshow.com website. It's on the upper right-hand corner. Just click there. And if you want to contribute, as I said, as little as $5 a month, I would really appreciate it. Thanks for considering it. All right, guys, have a great week. Have a great holiday next week. And we will see you next week on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Take care.